So have you thought about what the end catchphrase for the new Low Rollers podcast could be? Do you have any ideas cooking?
As a matter of fact, I do, but I'm going to save it. I'm going to
Okay.
surprise you with it
All
at the
right.
end.
So all right. So that'll come at the end. Well, I have a terrible idea.
Okay.
So this will set the bar nice and low, and whatever
Good.
you come up with at the end can only go up from here. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Low your roll and shut your mouth.
Hit the music.
Welcome, one and all, to Low Rollers, our debut episode, sorta, kinda, if you don't count the 275 episodes of our previous podcast. I'm Eric Raskin. I'm joined by Jeff Edelstein. We are writers and editors for CasinoReports.com, as well as other Third Planet properties, LotteryGeeks.com, Props.com, maybe other .coms to come. This is the gambling industry podcast for people who like their gambling industry podcast to be humorous and entertaining. At least relative to the extremely low standards for humor and entertainment of gambling industry podcasts. Jeff, delighted to be doing this with you again. How are you? How you been? What's new, old buddy?
Paraphrase the future president Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Finally, Jeff and Eric are back to the podcast airwaves, or something to that effect. But yeah,
Right.
it's good to be back, man. And you're right. The bar's low. Not a lot of humor in the world of gambling. People take themselves very seriously. We're gonna cover the serious stuff, but we're gonna have some fun doing it. At least we're gonna try to.
Right. As long as we have fun, who cares if the listeners have fun? That's my
I think
attitude.
that seems to be the podcast 101 right there.
Right.
Yeah, and speaking of podcasting 101, somebody should probably jump in here and tell everybody what we're doing today. I'll do that. We got an interview with Captain Jack Andrews. Who else could we interview for our first guest? He's talking about the state of online sports betting in the year 2025. Can't believe we're here already. But first, as always, Eric, plenty of news to discuss.
All right, so here's how we're doing the news on Low Rollers. Every week, we'll take the top story of the week and dissect it in some depth, and then go quick hit on a few other notable news topics. And this week's top story, it aligns nicely with the objective at Casino Reports to make online casino our main lane. As you said, 2025 is underway, and already two states, Maryland and Virginia, have pre-filed online casino legislation. This is the second year in a row they're trying in Maryland, first try in Virginia. We can talk about these states specifically. We can talk about the very slow progress of iCasino legalization generally. Jeff, what stands out to you here? Do you have optimism about either of these states becoming the eighth legal iCasino state? And did you tilt off any money playing online slots in the time it took me to tee up that question?
I did not, although I did last week. I'd rather not discuss that. Yeah, I don't know. I think I don't know is a short answer. These are two other, East Coast states where who are trying to like get online casino going. I think as years tick by, it becomes more and more likely that we'll see more states. Now, that may be like a Captain Obvious answer, but I think that with just the easy ability these days for anyone to play online casino legally or illegally across the nation, I think that's going to serve as some fuel to the fire for legalization, as well as this is something we've been talking about for years, and it's finally coming to fruition where like the COVID money's dried up. All states are now back to like looking for ways to raise money without raising taxes. Online casino is about as low-hanging fruit as you're going to find.
Yeah, and I think that's the key point. Well, certainly the COVID money is one, but what you said right before that of the legal and illegal options, all these, and I guess I shouldn't say illegal, but let's call them gray areas, possibly legal options. I wonder to what extent this whole sweepstake casino trend, along with now crypto casinos and of course social casinos have been around a while. To what extent those are spurring or will continue to spur these states into action, that basically more and more people are waking up to the idea that the citizens of their states are playing online casino in some way, and you may as well regulate it and tax it, and then it ties in with your COVID point of, that money's gone. We got it. A lot of these states need to raise money. It does feel like we may be hitting a tipping point where these last few years of very little happening on the legalization front that it's about to start swinging the other way. Although there's still a lot of anti-sentiment out there. You know, the cannibalization debate is still going strong. Cordish companies clearly want to stop online casino in all the states they operate in for whatever their reasons are, although if online casinos come to those states, they will happily take part in it. There's all the problem gambling fears, which I would say are fairly justified. Online casino and problem gambling definitely do go together. It's just, again, the fact that whether you legalize and regulate it or not, online casino is available to pretty much everyone at this point.
Listen, there's just no other product that exists that states are going to allow to be sold under their noses, and they're not going to take their cut from. I mean, that this is 101 stuff, right? So, like, I mean, are these sweepstakes companies paying taxes to Maryland? Are the
They
crypto
are not.
companies paying taxes to
They are
Maryland? They're
not.
not, right?
Right.
So, I mean, all it find some someone in the on the pro iCasino space should be like, hey, this is how many tax dollars you're losing. Literally, like right now, as we speak, and that enough should be enough to get this done, I think. But I mean, we've kind of been singing the same tune about this in one way, shape, form, or another
Right.
forever.
For what it's worth, I kind of feel like if I had to guess which of these two states has a better shot, I'm leaning Virginia just because they've moved quickly on things in general that like as of 3 or 4 years ago there was no sports betting there and no brick and mortar casinos there and now they have both. So maybe that's a state where things happen quickly, whereas Maryland seems to be not quite a Massachusetts, but a let's talk about this a while kind of state.
Right, and then of course there's the always the again things we've been saying for years. Just wait until New York does it, and then
Right.
everyone else will be like, oh wow, we got to do this too.
Right. That'll be the major tipping point, but we may have a minor tipping point moment happening here. I guess we'll see. All right, let's hit some other news, lightning round style. First, DraftKings offering a subscription service in New York. You pay $20 a month, you get boosted parlay odds. I know we're pretty much on the same page here because you wrote a column about this already, Jeff, so I know how you feel. I don't see the harm. I think it's probably actually a good deal for people who already like to bet parlays that they
Right.
should win at least $20 more per month or lose $20 less per month if a few of the parlays that they hit are now boosted. I really have no issue with this. I think it's creative and it may be a win-win.
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw it, my initial reaction, and I'm sure it's because I'm, in the industry here, was like, oh, this is disgusting. This is just taking more money out of people's pockets, blah, 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 blah. And then I thought about it literally as I was writing the column. I'm like I'm thinking about it more, and I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe this isn't so terrible. And it really comes down to this, and I think we lose sight of this, right? In the industry, there are people who bet on sports, okay? That's the minority. The majority of people enjoy betting on sports. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
There's it's two different things. And for people who enjoy betting on sports, this is why wouldn't you do this? If you're already betting parlays at DraftKings, why not spend the extra $20 to get a little boost? I did some very, very, very quick rudimentary checking of this, taking some random parlays of the day, and you're just simply getting even at the two leg level, you're getting better odds with the boost.
Right.
Especially in New York, where sport trade doesn't exist. So yeah, I mean, if you're in New York, if you bet parlays, if you bet with DraftKings, the $20 a month seems to be like money well spent. I say that,
Possibly, although now that you're talking about it, I'm thinking about like this specific customer that is not really in sports betting necessarily to make money, but cares enough about making money that they'll pay the $20 to boost their odds. It is a bit of a needle that they're threading, I guess, looking for the customer who wants to do well. I wonder how much it could even really appeal to more serious bettors who just
Right.
happen to love parlays. But I don't know. Either way, we agree that it's worth a shot. Why not?
It's worth a
I don't see
shot.
the
Yeah,
harm.
yeah.
Yeah. So we talked a little DraftKings. Let's talk a little FanDuel. Flutter issued a press release Tuesday that was basically, Too many favorites won in the NFL. We didn't completely take our customers to the cleaners. We won a lot of money, but not a lot of money. So we are adjusting our revenue guidance downward. Now, to me, this is everything that's wrong with how businesses work. You know, you're making money hand over fist, but you promised your investors you'd make even more money, so you have to make excuses because it's all about making your investors happy. I mean, if FanDuel can try to paint themselves as hitting hard times, it just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, the one thing that I thought about when I was reading that story is, you know, handicapping and statistical modeling and advanced statistics and, you know, analytics have grown just, you know, exponentially in the NFL space in, you know, the last 8, 10 years, right? What if we're actually just getting better at figuring out like what the spread should be? You know what I mean? Like, you know, and like the, I don't know. It just dawned on me, like, what if like the fate, you know, favorites should win most of the time, obviously. I mean, that's
Right.
why we call them favorites. What if we are getting, what if we're actually getting better at like knowing who the favorite should be? I don't know. It's
Me
just a thought.
meaning we the better versus we the people who set the lines, or all of the above?
All of the we, right? Like, if
Right.
it's, I'm not saying the NFL is a solved game, and obviously we know that like the lines are, you know, you're not going to get better lines than you will, you know, with NFL betting. I mean, better by meaning like, you know,
More
what's,
accurate by the time it gets to
right.
kickoff, yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
But, you know, there's also like, I don't know, the NFL seems a little weirder to me in recent years. I feel like there's definitely more of a, teams seem to be either really good or not really good. There seems to be less mediocrity in the league. You know, teams are either like Super Bowl contenders or they are not Super Bowl contenders. And so
Right.
I wonder how much that plays into it as well. You
Yeah,
know, like,
I guess that's a good point. There are certain games like Ravens Browns last week where the Ravens were favored by 20, and there was just no conceivable way the Browns were winning that game. And maybe in an ideal NFL world, they'd like to have enough parity that you don't have games like that, but we're definitely having games like that.
I guess now that, again, now that I'm talking it through, I guess the lack of parity probably stems from like the way these rookie quarterback deals are structured. And like you really can only go for it if you have a you know, either a quarterback under the rookie deal or you have signed you know, an older quarterback for one last gasp.
Right. Or you have Patrick Mahomes, in which case it doesn't matter what you put around him, you're always going to make it to the Super Bowl.
It seems that way.
Yeah. All right. Last thing, crypto.com, which is definitely not a sports wagering site, is now a place where you can wager on the NFC Championship, AFC Championship, College Football Championship, because these aren't sports bets, Jeff. They're prediction markets. I gotta say, the online gambling world has gotten real weird on us real fast. I don't have much else to say about this. I don't know if you do, Jeff. If anything, it kind of segues into our interview as it's one more option available to bettors. But any further thoughts on crypto.com or this quote-unquote prediction market loophole?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what you just said rings really true. Now, I, you know, I've been covering you. We've both been covering this business now for quite a while. There's not that many people on the planet, you know, obviously that know as much as we do when it comes to all this stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that to brag. It's just, I mean, this is what we do for a living, right? I'm like, my head spins trying to like keep track of sweepstakes, social, crypto, this, that, and I'm positive there's things bubbling under the surface that I've yet to hear of. So I can only imagine how difficult all this is to, you know, to handle for the common person, for the politicians, you know, trying to like wrangle all of this under one, you know, rubric. So yeah, crypto.com is just the newest entry in what is becoming like a seemingly weekly newest entry into the world of, quote, italicized betting. You know what I mean?
Yep, indeed. All right. Well then let's wrap up the news and let's get to this week's guest. Can think of no better guest to appear on the debut edition of our new podcast than the man we welcome now. He was in the Five Timers Club on our old podcast. That green jacket must be lost in the mail. And now he's just four appearances away from earning a Low Rollers biker jacket. He's a professional gambler, the co-founder of Unabated.com. Captain Jack Andrews, thanks for joining us on Low Rollers.
Well, it is a pleasure to be here, guys. I'm honored to be your first guest, Eric and Jeff. You know, I'm big fans of both of your work.
That's specifically why we had you on, because we
Okay.
figured no one will kiss our ass more than Captain Jack.
Yeah. Listen, Jack is a very smart man. right? This is a well-known fact. And the fact that he thinks that we are worthy of his time means that we must be very smart men indeed as well. Ipso facto, ergo.
There are a few leaps of logic there, but maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe we're smart too. So, Jack, the main thing we want to talk about today, I'm sure when New Jersey launched sports betting in 2018, you as a professional gambler had visions dancing in your head of great new potential to make money. The regulated industry, however, has not always been kind to people like you. I don't know if you still bet offshore. You can tell us, or you can plead the fifth on that. But to what extent would you have guessed in 2018 that the regulated industry would be so tilted toward attracting recreational bettors and so disinterested in appealing to serious ones?
Honestly, I thought it would be a tough industry to crack as a sharp bettor. What I misjudged was that what companies would be at the forefront. I didn't see it would be FanDuel and DraftKings. I thought Caesars and BetMGM would take the lead right away. William Hill at the time, it's with Caesars, and then it would just be like Bet365 and these giants and squash everybody out. We've seen the small guys get squashed out, the innovative operators, but it's been different players in there. I still think, and I made a post the day that PASPA fell to a little private Advantage player group that I was a part of, and I said, "This is $1 million. This is worth $1 million to any capable sharp bettor," and it has been, definitely has been. Even though we've had to jump through a lot more hoops than we initially thought we would have to.
Over what sort of time span were you figuring this is worth $1 million?
At the time I said lifetime earn, but it probably was a shorter time than that for a lot of people. Because keep in mind, Eric, for the first 3, 4 years, nobody had shared wallets. So you could just rinse and repeat the same process in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Arizona and Colorado. And you could just, if you were able to travel or you had other means of getting people down for you could rinse and repeat the same angles times 20 at the time.
So, I know Eric brought up in the beginning here the idea of offshore. At the time in 2018, your choices were pretty much limited to the new regulated books or, offshore or the street, obviously. Fast forward now 5, 6 years, there's things that nobody saw or expected, probably from the sweepstakes sites to crypto sites to, there's probably more that that prop up every day. So, I mean, for somebody, I'm not asking for you specifically, but for a professional, somebody who's trying to like get as much down as they can, is offshore, I mean, is it still considered the only or best game in town, or have the other sites, the crypto, the sweepstakes and stuff like that, has that crept into like the daily grind?
Jeff, it's never been a better time to be a bettor when it comes to the variety of options that are out there. We all know the regulated space. We all know the offshore space. The offshore giants are still giant out there. We have these sweepstakes books that are really trying hard to be innovative, and they seem to be succeeding. Like that's something that's newsworthy is these guys that floundered in the regulated market are now succeeding in the sweepstakes market. And yeah, we don't know the legality and where that's all going to go. I think there's a path to regulation there, that's a brighter for all involved than a path to prohibition. It would bring in tax revenue, it would bring in jobs, it would create a more innovative betting space. It would be better for the bettors, obviously. It's a win across the board if we find a way to regulate rather than prohibit. But we still have your local bookie. Your local bookie is thriving. Their stakes are still pretty small. They tend to th thrive around college campuses, but there are still a lot of local bookies using what's called pay per head sites, not paper, but pay per head sites. And so you're betting off in this internet space, but you're settling up in cash with a local bookie. We have crypto sites. We have exchanges that are taking off. We have the CFTC starting to show signs of cracks in its facade, in saying that they'll never have a gambling product that is regulated by the CFTC. I think we're on the cusp of that happening. So, for all the negativity that I could have about how the regulated space has not lived up to what I thought it could be and how we have contraction across the regulated industry, everything else is thriving because they see oxygen in the space to grow into.
If you were a regulated operator right now, at what level of shit in your pants are you feeling?
If I'm FanDuel and DraftKings, I'm pissed because we had the 18 to 21-year-old crowd with our little DFS loophole, and then came Underdog and Prize Picks, and they're getting the 18 to 21-year-old crowd. And now comes sweepstakes, and they're getting the 18 to 21-year-old crowd. Look, is there something magical about the age of 21 where you can, you make a wager wisely versus not at 18? No, I know people in their 70s that make bad wagers. I think the harms of addiction are stronger in that younger formative years, and that's the catalyst for setting these thresholds. But the difference between 18 and 21, you're able to smoke cigarettes and die for your country at 18. You should be able to have a little bit of a gamble, as long as you're doing it responsibly. So, yes, I think DraftKings and FanDuel are seeing the pressures of these new innovators. But keep in mind, DraftKings and FanDuel were those new innovators a decade ago. They were fighting to say that DFS is not gambling. We have
Right.
this carve out in the UIGEA. And now they're here trying to get attorneys general to go at these smaller players.
So do you think like DraftKings and FanDuel, if and really all the books that have limited bettors, if they hadn't done that, if they'd taken a more better friendly attitude from the start and left the pros not feeling like I got to keep all my offshore outs going and all that. If they'd been more welcoming, would we be in a significantly different place in terms of all these other competitors into the market? Did FanDuel and DraftKings and the others who limited bettors open this up in some way by not providing the service that a lot of people were looking for?
I think they did, Eric. I think that it's very much that they're giving this segment a chance because it's totally underserved. And, when you talk about the sharp bettors, we don't get a lot of sympathy. It's hard to feel sympathetic about sharp bettors. But it's more like bettors who want to win. It's aspirational bettors that are being underserved in the industry. And DraftKings and FanDuel and the like. We'll throw BetMGM and Caesars and all of those and the Canby books in there. They would have been better served if they weren't so punitive with their limits, if they were reasonable. And when I say reasonable, I'm not talking like, oh, give Jack a $10,000 bet on the coin toss. No, it's more about like $100 instead of $1.32. Jeff, I know your situation with you bet one Oscars and now you can't get down more than 38 cents on any Oscars market in perpetuity. And so it's very punitive, the limiting, and it didn't need to be punitive. It could have just been protective and risk protection. But instead they made it punitive, and that's what got everybody a little bit just cheesed off about the whole thing.
How much of your play? And again, feel free to not answer. But like, are you able to do anything with the regulated books in New Jersey right now?
Yes,
Like
because
under your name?
yes, oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Because we still have sport trade here in New Jersey.
Oh no, I'm sorry. You're right. So, taking away Prime, taking away
Okay.
Sport Trade, the rest of them. I mean, or have they taken every last ounce of it from you?
Yeah, let me think. There's just a couple of them that still take a
Right.
decent pop from me.
Yeah.
All the
Yeah.
major ones don't anymore. I've moved on to using more offshore and sweepstakes and exchanges. The exchanges are great, though.
Yeah.
Like in my situation, where I can put up an offer that is much more beneficial to me, especially if I can make it so that it looks attractive to somebody else, that is very beneficial to me. So, for the most part, yeah, I don't rely on the DraftKings and the FanDuels and the BetMGMs and the Caesars. Those accounts are long gone. And the Canby books, man, they were gone in like September of 2018.
Speaking of sport trade, and I'm asking you and not Alex, so feel free to just completely ignore this question. But Prophet made the pivot to sweepstakes, and they seem to be thriving. Do you know if sport trade is considering doing their own sweepstakes
Well, I
entry?
don't speak for Alex, but I am pretty certain no, they are staying on the path they're on. And they've been very successful. I think they're in six
Right.
states now, and it's been successful enough. And look, if the CFTC cracks that facade and wants to offer a nationwide exchange of some kind of sports betting, you know who has the best software for that?
Sport
those
Trends.
guys.
Yeah.
And so they would be a huge acquisition for a major company like a Google or a Meta would buy them up in no time for a huge amount of money. So I still think they're in the best position. It's nice that Prophet and Novig and the like have found thrive in the sweepstakes space, but I think Alex and his crew over there at Sport Trade are still probably taking the best possible long-term approach in how they're doing it.
And let me ask you this also, a little back around to something else here. How's life at Unabated treating you?
Very good. It's been a very strong year for us. There's obviously, you guys know, there's been some acquisitions around the space that have gotten some attention. We're just plodding along and providing these tools and resources to these aspirational bettors that are underserved and allowing them to find how to get down, where to get down, and where the best prices are.
But no walking bets yet.
You don't want to see me, Jason.
As long as Jeff was pivoting to some other topics here, I'm curious, Jack, when you meet someone out in the wild, like not at a gaming industry function, what do you and what did you specifically before Unabated tell them you did for a living? I suppose in the Unabated era, it's a little easier to say I run a website. Maybe you don't even, I don't know. What do you tell people when you, that you do for a living when you meet them?
So it's evolved over the years, Eric. 15 years ago, I was a consultant. Oh, I consult about various IT things. So I did come from an IT background before I was a professional gambler. And then about 10 years ago, I started to use the professional gambler line. And everyone likes to finish your sentence before you have a chance to answer. They go, "Oh, you play poker." And I go, "Yes, that's what I do. I don't play poker at all, but." It was just easier to have them have this vision of a professional gambler as a poker player. And so I would go with that. Because if you said sports bettor back then, you were like, "Oh, you're a bookie." Like it was immediately like you're in the underworld. But now I am very upfront that I'm a professional gambler. And it's actually nobody finishes it with, "Oh, you're a poker player anymore." You're like, "Oh, what do you do?" As if like there are multiple definitions of what a professional gambler can do. And sports betting, very popular. What I don't like to tell people is that I'm a content creator because they automatically think you're just an influencer or you're just somebody who, making walking bets or something. It's very tough to say I'm a content creator educating people about how to bet on sports properly. They just think you're a scam artist if you're trying to educate people on YouTube. So, yeah, that's the one thing I kind of steer away from, and I just go with professional gambler.
I do think of you first and foremost as an influencer. You're sort of the third Paul brother in my mind.
Looks like him.
Actually,
Yeah.
Jake Paul got into the gambling industry with Better,
Yeah.
so he's kind of stepping on your toes, the way I
He
see it.
did, yeah. Hopefully I'm not fighting anybody anytime soon.
No.
That wouldn't go
Well,
well for
or
me.
you could maybe fight some 58-year-olds.
Higher. Like maybe like I don't know. I don't even know who I choose as an opponent.
Trying to think
What
of a
was, I'm
really old
sorry.
living celebrity, like who's still around. Oh, Gene Hackman. I'm favoring you over Gene Hackman,
He's in
Jack.
his like 90s.
Yes, he is.
That's abuse. I don't I don't try to be an influencer. I feel I'm more of an educator, but I get it. I get it that people, that's how social media works these days, is you have people that a lot of people follow and they become de facto influencers. Yeah.
Okay.
Jack, thanks so much for doing this, man. I really appreciate it. I'm sure this won't be the last time that you are on the Low Rollers podcast here. And honestly, instead of a green jacket or anything, I'm thinking just honorary member, and we could get our low rider motorcycles, low roller. What's our low
Ah, I
rider?
get it. Low rollers. Yeah. It's still episode one. You'll learn the name by episode 30, I'm thinking,
We're the low rolling low riders. How about that?
Jeff.
I like that.
Sure.
I was wondering why it was a biker jacket when you introduced me, but
It
I
just
really
feels like that way. That low rollers doesn't feel like you're over the low rollers. Cruising
I
down 295 in our Harleys.
just want to be the guy that replaces the Phil Hellmuth tagline of, maybe you could just roll low, guys, roll low. I can add
We'll
that to
work.
the
Let's workshop that, Jack.
we'll workshop
For now, that's the leader in the
that.
clubhouse for now.
All right.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, guys.
good stuff there with the great Captain Jack. So before we go, I have a quick story for you, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's in the playoff best ball realm. Would I be correct to assume you drafted some teams while the regular season was still going on before the playoff bracket was set?
The moment they dropped, yes, I started drafting teams, correct.
Okay, so you know how it works. So I did a handful on DraftKings 2 weeks ago. DraftKings is 12 rounds. You get down to the last few rounds, and it's slim pickings. So my draft is coming along normally through 9 picks. I have 4 Bills, 3 Packers, a couple of randoms. I'm scrolling through the names for my 10th pick, and I see J.K. Dobbins, like 30 spots down the ADP rankings of players still remaining. And this is just as buzz is building that Dobbins is ready maybe to return from injury.
Okay.
So it seems like a great play. His ADP is way too low, if indeed he's active for the playoffs. I get excited, thinking that's the guy I want here. But I take a second to scroll up and see if I've missed someone better, and I lose my place, and the clock is ticking down, and now I can't find Dobbins' name. Then I find him, the clock is about to expire, and I click draft. I clicked it a half second too late. So before I clicked, it auto-drafted the top ADP pick remaining, Ja'Marr Chase, who I figured wasn't making the playoffs, and indeed did not make the playoffs. Correct. And when Chase's name disappeared from the options, everyone shifted up one. So in that millisecond, when I tried to click Dobbins, instead my cursor was on the next name down, Zach fucking Charbonnet, who I figured wasn't making the playoffs and indeed did not make the playoffs. So two of my 12 roster spots are guys I didn't want who aren't in the playoffs. Oh, and then with my 12th and final pick, I got J.K. Dobbins. So that's my tale of woe. A misclick of sorts that killed two picks at once and buried the whole lineup. And I guess I'm realizing as I'm saying it that it only makes sense if I also reveal to you I was at the turn. So I had the two picks in a row. That's how I ended up with that. So.
Yeah, I would never make a mistake like that. I'm too much of a professional when it comes to drafting best ball teams. Sorry. All right, I think that's a wrap, Eric. Before we go, though, I got a couple things to say. You know, let me tell you this. I'm a big fan of prediction markets, right? You know, I remember back in the old days when Predict It was pretty much the only game in town, right? And this space always looked ripe for growth, you know? And listen, big companies, big government, big things in general, they've been playing around with this stuff for years privately because it's useful. The CIA wrote papers about it. It hinges on something called the efficient capital markets hypothesis, basically wisdom of the crowds. Theory being, if enough people are betting on the outcome of something, you could glean real-world data. There's real social utility when it comes to this. But you know where there's not social utility? Betting on what's going to happen to Luigi Mangione, that piece of shit, right? And also, you know where there's no social utility? Right now, I could go over to Polymarket and bet on how many acres of land the Palisades fire is going to destroy by Friday. Listen, this is like the worst fire, some of the worst fires in modern history, and now I can, quote, bet on it. Really, this is not a good look. This is just silly gambling, and it's ugly gambling. This is ugly gambling, right? It's not a good look. Bad job, Polymarket. That's my take on that. But good job, Polymarket, allowing me to buy Jalen Milroe at 30 cents on the yes to be a first round pick. Listen, the Alabama quarterback may not be that good, but boy, oh boy, those NFL GMs, they cannot stay away from these quarterbacks. They got to take a quarterback in the first round. I like that. 30 cents for Milroe, I'm in. That's a screaming buy. That's it. I'm done. Until next week, Eric, we're low rollers, small stakes, and hot takes.